From Heaven. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1880. As they neared London, Lady Diana Dale thought that the horses drawing the carriage she was travelling in were stepping into a new world. She was frightened at what lay in the future. It seemed as if London, which had been where she had enjoyed herself enormously when she came out, was suddenly a strange place where she was nervous of what she might find. When her mother died, she had left London to stay with one of her relations. But now, when she had settled down happily with the family and adored being in the country, her stepfather had sent for her. "I will not go," she had said when the letter arrived. But her cousin, who she was staying with, said, "Don't be silly, Diana. After all, he made your mother happy and provided you with a lot of money. You can hardly refuse to visit him just because you never liked him when he was your mother's husband." Her cousin had hesitated a little over the last word. Diana knew she was thinking that she had perhaps been jealous of her stepfather, which was the reason why she had been anxious to get away from him. She had, in fact, begged her cousin, when she came to the funeral, to have her to stay. Having moved in, Diana had stayed there and never returned to the house in London. Looking back on it, she realised that everything had happened from the moment that William Walker had met and married her mother. Diana's father, who had been the Earl of Dinsdale, had fallen on hard times when he had unexpectedly lost most of his money. He had found that investments he had made with the help of a man who called himself a friend had failed utterly. The only way he could continue to live with any comfort was to sell his large house, which had been in the family for nearly 100 years, and move into something much smaller. His wife had wept bitterly, but it had not increased their bank balance. The Countess said that it broke her heart to have to move into a pleasant but inexpensive house at the far end of their estate. The rest, including the big house, the horses, and the many acres of land, had been sold to a man who her father summed up in one word as being common. As Diana was still too young to worry much about her belongings, she had accepted all the changes to her life without it affecting her, as it had affected her parents. Her father died 2 years after they moved. While she cried at his funeral, she knew, although she did not put it into words, it was somewhat of a relief not to hear him grumbling on and on, as he had done every day, because the house was too small for him, compared to the big house that he had been obliged to sell. The garden, pretty as it was, could not be compared with the very large acreage that had been theirs previously. In fact, the Earl had been so very difficult and so bad-tempered since they had changed houses that it was a joy not to hear him moaning and refusing to entertain their friends who wished to console him and his wife. "I am damned if they will come here again," she had heard her father say about their visitors. "I will not be commiserated with because I was a fool to lose my money. I suffer enough living in this abysmal hole without having people telling me what is happening at what was my home and the home of my ancestors." If he had said it once, he had said it a dozen times. Although she realised that it was wrong of her, she knew that she was much happier alone with her mother. The Countess, however, took it in a very different manner. She made friends with the local villagers who she had never met before when she lived in the big house. She took an interest in the small school where the younger children were taught before they then moved on to a much larger one. In fact, Diana had a distinct feeling that her mother was happier in the small house than she had been for years in the large one. As she had often said to her daughter, it was falling to pieces over their heads. In actual fact, she was not to be aware for long how things had changed since her father's death. Their large house had been bought by a man who, they were informed before they met him, had made himself a millionaire. "How has he done it?" Diana had asked. Only to